Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conlon, and happy Monday. I hope everyone enjoyed their weekend. I was live tweeting the Oscars last night. Oh, and by the way, I clearly returned from Mexico with my head on my body. I'm just kidding. That was a horrible joke. But a few things really quickly before we jump in today. I just want to recap the Oscars really quickly because I still do cover entertainment. So Oppenheimer cleaned up last night. Both director Christopher Nolan and actor Cillian Murphy won their very first Oscars. So I thought that was really exciting. And poor Bradley Cooper lost for the 27th time. Poor guy. And obviously Oppenheimer won for Best Picture as well. I think we all saw that coming. And I was also thrilled for Emma Stone, who won for Best Female Actor for Poor Things, which I still haven't seen. I'm planning on watching it tonight, actually. And The Zone of Interest won for Best International Film, which I briefly stated on this podcast that I had high hopes for it, and it really didn't deliver for me at all. It was slow, a bit boring, and reading the reviews and the recaps are actually legit better than watching the movie itself. I feel bad saying that, but it's true. And I'm just going to say this, I'm not going to get political, but a handful of celebrities were wearing pins for Palestine, symbolizing the request of a ceasefire, as obviously Israel and Palestine are at war. And when the team behind Zone of Interest got up there to accept their award for a film that is centered around the horrors of the Holocaust, and they are Jewish, they actually got up there and said, "We refute our Jewishness and stand up here as men." And that's how they accepted their award. And I felt like that really let the Jewish community down. I thought it was really disappointing that they had a platform to say, release the hostages, release the babies and the women and children, but they didn't. And I think that really disappointed the Jewish community, I must say. And then lastly, on a happier note, I did love the performance of Ryan Gosling as Ken. It was so fun. And I loved Slash from Guns N' Roses, still killing it on the electric guitar. And overall, I just thought it was much better than I expected because I thought the Golden Globes were an absolute disaster. But okay, let's get into today's story. And I am sharing this story in hopes of finding this poor Tennessee teen, Sebastian Rogers. Now, I've mentioned my other podcast, Corruption, What Happened to Grant Solomon? And that revolves around the death of a Tennessee teen in Sumner County. And this is the same county that Sebastian Rogers, the high-functioning Tennessee teen, disappeared from, Sumner County. So this is why this story first caught my attention. I mean, there's a few other things as well, But Sumner County refuses to reopen the case of Grant Solomon, even though evidence would allegedly suggest or point to this accident that Grant had not happening the way the only witness, Grant's father, said it happened. Or if it did, there's no way to prove it because there's no camera footage and there was no accident reconstruction completed. I mean, there's way too much to get into. But as a side note, I will add the first episode of Corruption to The Outlier as a cross promo with some background info, just to add some context at some point so you can get an idea about that case because I just talk about it so much. So back to Sebastian Rogers. Sebastian Rogers is a 15-year-old autistic teenager that lives in Hendersonville, Tennessee with his mom and stepfather, Katie and Chris Proudfoot. So Sebastian is a high-functioning autistic teen, and his mother, Katie, is 34 years old, and his stepfather, Chris, is 40 years old. His biological father is named Seth Rogers, who lives in Clarksville, Tennessee, who is actually a deputy with the Davidson County Sheriff's Office, which is nearby, and Google Maps shows that it's about an hour drive to Hendersonville from Clarksville. So what I'm about to share with you about the Sebastian Rogers case is from interviews with his parents and sourcing from the local news, local reporters, on Facebook, on the actual websites, and everything that I cite in this episode is in the episode notes. But later, I'm going to share some things with you from some of my Tennessee sources, and I will point out that what comes from a few of my sources is really, really interesting. So here we have Sebastian Rogers. He's 15 years old. He is a sweet, high-functioning 15-year-old with autism. His favorite song is Eye of the Tiger. He loves video games, and his favorite color is green. And every picture you see of him, he has this big, giant, happy smile with these cute glasses. And he truly looks very sweet. So according to Sebastian's mother, Katie, he went to bed on February 25th, a Sunday night. His mom said all was well. She said good night. They said, I love you. He said, I love you. And that was that. Chris Proudfoot, her husband and Sebastian's stepfather, just happened to be out of town for work. So Katie says when she went to wake Sebastian the next morning, he was gone. He was not in his room. And she said at first she thought maybe he was just eating breakfast, but then she quickly realized he wasn't in the house. So Katie says that she called Chris, her husband, to tell him, and then she called 911. And this next part gets me. Katie says, according to Fox 17, Nashville, Katie says that the door was locked and none of Sebastian's shoes are missing. And I want to be clear, I am not accusing anyone of anything. I am absolutely not. But I'm just going to explain to you a few things about why this gets to me. And later I'll talk about why this case is perplexing to some people. But why this gets to me is because in their first interview, and I'll play part of that in a bit, Katie and Chris keep claiming that Sebastian, quote unquote, walked out the door or walked out that door. And look, maybe they're signaling to the back door. I don't know the layout of their house, but I thought I would point that out. How would he walk out the door and the door is locked on the inside? Normally, your door has to be manually locked. But again, I don't know the house. So if you're unfamiliar with this case, locals and the internet have pointed out things that appear to be a bit odd or just odd circumstances in general when it comes to Sebastian's parents. However, it's being reported that they are fully cooperating and not considered to be suspects. So this is what's odd. And I think this is odd. I'm just going to say it. This is really freaking weird. Katie and Chris did not do an interview or plead with the media or the press, ask for help for 7 days. Sebastian was missing for 7 days And then they decided to do an interview. And where did they do this interview? Not Fox News, not CNN, not a local news outlet. They did it with a podcaster called The Duchess on YouTube. I mean, her podcast is about missing children. And my source did tell me that this podcaster is actually a friend of Sebastian's mother's family member or something. But I mean, what? Me personally, as a parent, I would be on the news screaming the same day my child went missing, if that was allowed, or at least the next day. I mean, begging for help, pleading for my child to come home. I'd offer a reward. I would just be so desperate. So we have 7 days that go by before his parents plead with the media or plead with quote unquote the public to help look for Sebastian. And then your first interview is a random podcast. Okay, so the other very odd thing is that the Sumner County Sheriff's Office did not have the public join in on a search until March 3rd. So this is where it gets a bit eerie. They sent search dogs out to find Sebastian's scent and nothing. There's no CCTV footage or any kind of footage in town or the surrounding neighborhood that have appeared to capture any images of Sebastian. And let it be known, they have searched all over town, all over the county, thousands and thousands of miles. And it was also reported that police did not ask for ring cam footage from neighbors until a few days later. And many ring cams are set to optimize their storage. So while some people could keep their footage for months, others may only have their footage for a day or two. So another odd thing was that police changed the timelines and then asked people to begin looking at footage from Sunday afternoon and onwards instead of maybe Sunday evening after Sebastian went to bed, because that's a bit confusing. If he went to bed at his house, then why would he be missing on a Sunday afternoon? Why would you have people look at their camera footage from the afternoon when he was supposedly with his mother? And they've found nothing. So the search for Sebastian has officially turned into an investigation at this point as of today, and it's March 11th. So on March 7th, this is really scary, but police began investigating a landfill in Kentucky as they were told that's where the family's trash gets sent to. That was just so scary for me. I did not like that. They did not find him, or they did not release any information about finding him or any of his belongings. So here we have this boy who has vanished without a trace. And Sebastian was last seen wearing a black sweatshirt, black sweatpants, and glasses. So I'm going to play a minute from the initial interview with Sebastian's mom and stepfather for you. And then I'm going to read some information from the Twitter account of Peter Hyatt. Peter is a renowned statement analyst expert in deception and just overall statements. He was on the BTK Killer Task Force. He's written books. He trains agents at Quantico and through his company, Hyatt Analysis. And I sent him this case because it's just so baffling. So I'll play a part of the interview and then I'll go over a few things that he noted.
I'm on a constant roller coaster ride of helpless and hopeless and many other emotions all in one, and it's a never-ending roller coaster. It doesn't stop. It won't stop until he walks through the door.
My son doesn't run. He's not a runner. He's never run away before. I don't know why he walked out that door. That morning he was laughing, he was joking. Everyone we were around that day agreed that he seemed like he was in a good mood. He was behaving. It'd make more sense if we'd been fighting.
Or you'd been in trouble, but he hadn't been in trouble. So, I mean, hey, the $1 million question, why did he go? And the other $1 million question is how?
Okay, let's get to some of Peter's comments on Twitter, and they're also linked out in the episode notes. Quote, What particularly concerns me about the need to portray as normal and loving is how parents respond when a child is missing or a victim of a crime. They blame themselves. Missing child, colon. They do not care how they look to the public as long as the relevant information is broadcast. They'll say, "We argued, and I wish I never said." All they care about is finding their child. Concealing what took place suggests a serious event or a series of events that precipitated Sebastian Rogers leaving the home. I do not know if he ran off from them, but waiting a week to call him out via media, especially with autism, is self-preservation on the part of the mother and stepfather rather than prioritizing Sebastian. Eventually, tough questions will be asked. End quote. And another one of his posts reads, quote, "Also working on the assumption that he walked out, stepfather's backing of the mother's story may indicate that he too knows there are problems in the home. Missing without answers, parents would naturally imagine all sorts of horror, including abduction. The mother and stepfather have made the conclusion that he left. There is more to the account than what they have said. They are withholding information." End quote. Something else he posts, quote, "His million-dollar question," and this is referring to Chris, "was why did he go when it should be, where is Sebastian? This is subtle victim blaming. What happened in the day or days prior to him going missing?" End quote.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And then lastly, I'm going to read something that Peter posted. He got it from a YouTube comment, and I thought that it was really interesting. Quote, "I taught autism for 26 years with students that were this child's age. It was really concerning that the public was not immediately told what his capabilities were, what he liked, how he would act if he saw you. Does he understand language very well? Is he fearful or outgoing? Does he have seizures? Many, many autistic folks do. People need to know way more. I think, as his mom, I would have blurted out everything about my special needs child in order to find him." End quote. I have some ideas about this, maybe as to why she didn't, but I will get into that later because I do want to play a 6-minute interview with Sebastian's father, his biological father, Seth Rogers, and Caitlin Miller of Fox 17 Nashville.
I mean, as his father, tell me a little bit about your son.
He's got a big heart. He's loving, you know, he's inquisitive, he can be stubborn at times, he loves to play video games, he loves animals, I mean, thoroughly loves animals. He likes plants. He likes to, you know, grow things. He likes to take care of things. He loves his video games. Boy, the kid loves his video games.
What has the last week been like for you as a father?
My heart is missing somewhere out here, and I'm just trying to find him. Yeah, I don't know where he's at. I can't find him.
And when was the last time you got to see Sebastian?
Last time he was at my house. So I was supposed to have him last weekend, and it would have been 2 weekends prior. He was at my house, and I got to see him. We got to play video games, watch TV, had a great weekend.
And, I mean, obviously, it seems like, what has it been like working with law enforcement? Have they been great, you know, trying to help you with this search?
They're definitely doing everything that they can to find my son, and I thoroughly appreciate it, and I hope that they find him. Every day I'm waking up hoping that they find him.
And obviously, so he's autistic. Are there any like tendencies that he may have? Like, does he like hanging out like in the trees or by water that could maybe help people find him?
He does like creeks. I mean, he loves to go fishing with me. But if he's in the city limits, he's, you know, video games. He'd probably be, you know, maybe an arcade or something.
Okay. And has he ever done something like this before? Just leave the house for a short period of time or anything like that?
No.
And, I mean, how much sleep have you lost over this last week? Walk me through kind of what that experience has been.
I haven't had very much sleep at all. Coffee and energy drinks is my main diet is spring.
Yeah. And I know you said you were out there searching. Are there any particular places that you're looking that you think he might be at?
I'm looking everywhere. I'm not from this area, so I don't know him. So I'm just everywhere. You know, I keep telling people, keep your head up and your eyes open. If you see him, call 911. You know, if my son hears my voice, buddy, you need to get to a phone and call 911, you know?
Definitely. And you live in Clarksville, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you've been out here in the Hendersonville area just searching for him the last week?
Every day.
And I guess, are you in close contact with his mother and step father about the situation?
Not really. I mean, we're in communication at least once a day, but that's about it. Okay. I'm looking for him, you know.
Yeah. And I know, like, obviously with social media, it's tough because as a parent, you just want your kid home. But there's been a lot of, like, speculation, too, about possible, like, criminal investigations. I mean, what's kind of your reaction to all of that chatter on social media?
I don't have social media, man.
Okay. But just hearing people kind of speculate about that in the community, I guess, how does that make you feel?
I think they need to, you know, instead of being keyboard warriors, they need to put feet on the ground and start looking for my son. If they really want to help, that's what they should be doing instead of coming up with their own opinion. How about I get out there and we find my son?
And how much does your son, Sebastian, mean to you?
He is my life.
Do you have any other kids?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And I guess, is there, I guess, anything you want to say? I don't know how well you know the stepfather or the mother, but is there anything you'd like to say about that and that situation and how he just kind of disappeared from the house?
I have nothing to say about that.
Okay. And if you could say something to Sebastian right now, what would you say?
If you are hearing this, son, you need to tell people who you are and tell them to call 911 for you. You need to tell people that you are Sebastian Rogers and that you need them to call 911.
And anything you'd like to tell him about returning home?
I miss you, buddy. And I'm waiting. I've been here for you. Okay.
Whew, that really broke my heart. He really sounded genuinely upset and like he really, really loves his son and he is completely distraught. And he also did an interview with Nick Barris of Channel 5 in Nashville. And he states that Sebastian would not wander off on his own and he is not ruling out foul play. Nick has been on this case from the start, Nick from Channel 5, and I also want to read you something that he wrote on Facebook, and he posted this on March 9th. Quote, "Missing for nearly 2 weeks now. Where is Sebastian Rogers? Someone somewhere knows. Here is an update with the latest. As you see here, missing signs are now up in the Hendersonville neighborhood in Sumner County, Tennessee, where the 15-year-old disappeared last Sunday night or Monday morning. Nothing was found by authorities who searched a landfill Thursday in Kentucky. Theories and rumors dominate social media. You need to be careful here. Many continued to insist the stepfather and mother had something to do with Sebastian's disappearance. The search continues, and this is now considered a criminal investigation. It is fair to consider any and all who are close or who had close contact with Sebastian. What is not fair is to blame the parents or anyone else without evidence. The stepfather claims he and his wife have been cleared of any wrongdoing by authorities. I don't know what he's been told privately, but I want to hear that publicly from the TBI or sheriff. Now this I do know. Two separate sources within the investigation tell me that the parents continue to be fully cooperative, and at this time, there is no evidence pointing to their involvement in the teen's disappearance. Tips continue to come in on possible sightings of Sebastian, and most recently, the sheriff says an alleged sighting in East Tennessee was not him. To date, no confirmed sightings. I've said from the beginning, authorities have done a textbook and thorough search and investigation in this case, and they've done an excellent job. And that is what makes it so perplexing that Sebastian disappeared without a trace. No one is giving up, call in tips, 1-800-TBI-FIND, and so many of you have asked, so join me for another Facebook Live, blah, blah, blah. I will be checking with my sources, the very latest, and your questions, and I've promised to stay on this story until Sebastian is found. Share," end quote. Okay, so Nick is praising police here. He's saying, don't blame the mom and the stepmom. He is saying law enforcement is doing everything they can. And I'm trying to look at this from a clean lens. I'm trying not to have my Sumner County bias here, which it's hard. I mean, I do. They refuse to acknowledge Grant Solomon's death as anything other than a parking lot incident. So it infuriates me. But when it comes to Sebastian, I just have a feeling that police do have a better idea of what's going on than we think. They're just not sharing it until they have proof and evidence and okay, fine. So here is something that is directly from one of my sources, and I want to be really careful with how I say this because it's very sensitive. And I don't want anyone to think that I am victim shaming at all. Oh my goodness, because I am not. This boy is missing and he is a minor and he deserves to be found. I just think this might be important to share because you could come up with some alternative theories about what could have possibly happened to him. So my source states that Sebastian was, he was a bit overly sexualized. He had behavioral issues, and he wasn't in all of the specialized classes that a teen with autism would be in. He was in some of them, but he was in classes that specialized more in behavior. So when I say overly sexualized, I just mean he would touch himself inappropriately, maybe do motions of masturbation, but didn't realize that it was inappropriate or possibly made people feel uncomfortable because of, you know, the way that he was developmentally. So I do think that this information did cause me to do a bit of speculation. Well, did Sebastian possibly do something he was ashamed of and run away? Did that actually happen? Or did someone catch him and get upset? I don't know, but it really made me think. And additionally, my source also said that he was into Minecraft and he did speak to strangers while playing that game. So the last piece of information I'm going to share about this case, and this is specifically about Chris Proudfoot, is that this is either his third marriage, maybe fourth. I'm not entirely sure. I just know he's been married at least three times per my source, and they sent me a screenshot that was some kind of court document. His ex filed some sort of domestic case against him where she was the plaintiff and he was the defendant. I only have a screenshot of this. I'm still working to unlock the entire case file, so it could be nothing, but something tells me it's something because it's labeled domestic and it's not exactly divorce proceedings. But I will keep everyone posted on that, and I'll do a part two at some point when there is more information available. I really hope Sebastian is found or comes home or that he's just safe. I hope and I pray. And the last thing I'll say is that anyone with information on Sebastian's whereabouts is encouraged to contact Sumner County Sheriff's Office, Detective Carter at 615-442-1865 or bcarter@sumnersheriff.com. And tips can also be provided to Sumner County Emergency Communications. And that's 615-451-3838 or 1-800-TBI-FIND. And I also want to be clear that the Sumner County Sheriff's Office did not investigate the Grant Solomon case. That was the Gallatin Police Department. All right, everyone. If you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you listen. Apple, Spotify, leave me a review. I would so, so enjoy that. All right. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.